Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed, and we thank you for listening. If you want to comment just via email, you can go to this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Chris Woodward joins us today, filling in for Steve Jordahl. Where'd Steve go?
Steve is visiting some family out west, enjoying some much-needed break. A lot of people don't realize this, but Steve and Brent and a guy named Adam Suddeth, who produces Sandy Show, do a lot of these sound bites that you guys hear on this program. So he has he has definitely earned himself a much needed vacation time.
All right. Well, I'm glad he is
just for doing sound bites.
Yeah. He scours the he uses the Google button on his internet machine a lot to scour the web. And find all the sound bites that are often played on this here program, as I like to say.
On this here program. All right, Chris, what do you want to talk about?
Well, fire away, Chris.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Google button on internet machines, you guys spent a lot of the last hour talking about the debate, and rightly so, but apparently last night during the debate or the shouting match between various folks,
the rumble.
Some Americans were so disgruntled they started searching for Move to Canada. As a matter of fact, the New York Post picked up on this, and their headline today is Google searches for Move to Canada spike after presidential debate. We were talking about it this morning, and Fred, a native of Canada, who moved to these here parts many years ago, he apparently remembered this back in 2016 when some people didn't like how the debates were going between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I joked this morning on social media that in an effort to upstage their running mates, Mike Pence and Kamala Harris have decided to play the quiet game for 90 minutes. We'll see how that goes.
The quiet game.
I don't know that anybody would win that. Like, somebody would still want to say something.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I know that's tongue-in-cheek, but I will just say this about Canada. If I was ever going to move to a different country, I probably would pick Canada.
It's pretty.
Although it's very clean.
Mm-hmm,
the big cities are. Now, of course, I wouldn't like the high taxes,
right,
or the more liberal, you know, bent, mm-hmm, of the country. But if I had to,
yeah.
Now I am getting older, so those kinds of tough winters might be a little bit tougher on me.
Okay.
And the other downside is my wife probably wouldn't come
right
to Canada.
Yeah.
So.
So you go in Canada if you had to leave?
Canada.
I don't know that I could do the metric system. You know,
now
I was part of
true.
That generation that was like educated on that. You know, we were told as kids, this is the way things are going to be, and here
yeah.
we are, still not there.
That
was sold.
True. Metric
who do
system.
I complain? Who do I file my complaint?
But
with
everybody else, oh. everybody, every other country uses the metric system. So.
I'm going with Cancun.
Is that to Mexico?
Yeah, if I have to move. I think between that and Canada.
Yeah, but the thing is with Cancun, I mean, you can't like live in
Cancun's
a resort.
Cancun's not its own country.
I mean,
well, I would have to live in a resort for the rest of my life.
If we're picking that, then
okay.
I'll be your next door neighbor.
Man.
Señor Vitaliano.
I don't hate a lot of things. We can't as Christians, right? The Bible
right.
instructs us. We can't do that. But I hate cold weather.
I think I don't think there's anything unbiblical.
You
about
think that's
hating?
Is that okay?
Weather. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't stand cold weather. And by cold, I'm talking anything under 35. Okay.
You don't want Canada then.
Canadians, I love Canadians, and they have a lot of natural beauty.
Yes.
And so forth, and I would like to go visit in the summer. I have been to Victoria,
okay,
British Columbia. So I did go over the border.
Yeah,
there in the Pacific Northwest once. Beautiful,
right?
But no.
So a lot of people were checking out moving to Canada because they got frustrated with the debate. The guess.
Yeah, it brings new meaning to O Canada. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, what else you
got? All right, yeah, Chris, bring it.
Well, at the top, you heard this in the newscast. For those that were listening to the news or maybe caught it at the top of the hour, very good news in the way of the job market. There's a number that comes out kind of at the beginning of every month. It's called the ADP number, and this is a survey of private sector employers by payroll processor ADP. And they found that 749,000 jobs were added in September, topping expectations by many economists. A lot of so-called experts thought we were going to see something around 650,000, which would be a good number. But in this particular case, the ADP says it found 749,000 new jobs last month. Now, this is not the official number that we get from Uncle Sam. That one's coming out on Friday. But I bring this up because, generally speaking, the ADP number is less than what the government announces. So if we go by history, we might can expect to see more than 749,000 jobs announced by our federal government on Friday. The numbers rarely, if ever, match. But we have had a debate for not just last night, but for months now about who is better equipped to handle this economic recovery, President Trump or Joe Biden. And it would appear that we continue to add a lot of jobs at a time when some employers are not open or maybe not as open as they want to be. So this will have an impact on stocks, and certainly the number on Friday is all that much more important if one group says 749,000.
Interestingly enough, even in the polls that show people who are going to vote for Joe Biden or favor Joe Biden or leaning toward Joe Biden for president, they still give the president, that is President Trump, an advantage on handling the economy. I don't know if y'all have seen these surveys. So that's probably what's helping keep Trump within striking distance.
Yeah. Right.
Because people do remember what the economy was like. It was soaring back in pre-COVID days, and then, you know, we all know what happened. The nation, we had to shut down. We shut down a lot of the country in response to the COVID crisis, and that caused the economy to suffer greatly. Now we're on the rebound, we're coming back from it, but Biden last night tried to pin the whole thing on Trump.
He did.
Yes.
Called it Trump's recession.
Yeah, that was pretty frustrating.
Like, that's fair. Trump's recession. We all know what happened here. That's why I think a majority of American people know what happened. We all know what happened here.
Right.
Everything was going pretty good for everybody. And then, boom, this hit. And we had a
we had the lowest unemployment rate for both the black community and the Hispanic community. I think, like, in history.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I say. Everybody was doing good.
Right.
Everybody it was doing good, and as a whole, and then this happened. You know, the Chinese virus, the plague, as President Trump called it last night. But for Biden to call it Trump's recession, I wonder if Biden will now call it Trump's recovery.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
No, he won't.
Huh? He won't call it Trump's recovery. So I thought that was completely unfair, and actually it was such a lie that I don't think anybody believed it.
Let me ask both of you guys. It just came to my mind, so I'm just asking: have either of you been seeing many Trump ads? Now I'll say I have not watched any football so far this year. Because I just didn't want to watch
the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch the NFL because, anyway, I don't want to get into all that. I have watched some hockey, but there haven't been a whole lot of ads, period. And I don't typically watch any, like, NBC, CBS programming because most of it's garbage. So I haven't been really in a position to see a lot of ads. Have you been seeing many Trump campaign ads?
I haven't seen many Trump or Biden ads.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saving their money.
I've seen some ads on television, and I was kind of like half paying attention to it, like as I was preparing a newscast or something of that nature. So I'm not necessarily sure if it was a Donald Trump campaign ad or, you know, friends of Donald Trump or one of those kinds of issues. So I've seen a few, but certainly not on the level that we've seen in recent years. But I will tell you that we heard kind of talk about this 4 years ago. Younger Americans tend to not watch television programs that involve commercials. We right. do a lot of streaming, or we watch something on demand that doesn't involve commercials, limited commercial spots, things like that. So maybe this is a sign that the campaigns are taking this into consideration and finding other ways to get their message.
See, that, but that was kind of like my follow-up is the concern I would think for the Trump campaign would be that if you turn to social media to get your ads to that younger generation, mm-hmm. then you run into the Facebook, Google,
sure.
the roadblocks, Twitter,
right.
you know, where they say, ah, that's mm-hmm. a false ad. We're not going to let you run it. I was wondering how that was playing out.
Now, that's a good question. And take into consideration, too, that Democrats, certainly going back to the 2008 Obama-Biden campaign, they were very successful in using the internet and social right. media to their advantage. So that might be something that Trump would have a tough hill to climb if he were to go that road.
Well, I mean, today's the last day of September, and tomorrow's October 1st. So if you're holding your money for ads, you're running out of time.
That's true. That's very true.
Anyway, I didn't mean to bring in an extraneous topic. But
no. Well, hey, you did mention the NFL, and I'm not getting into the kneeling and BLM observances and things like that, but there is an NFL COVID story that's breaking today.
Break it for us, Chris.
Well, the NFL is postponing an upcoming matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tennessee Titans after some of the Titans players tested positive for COVID-19. This is the first game in the National Football League to have been postponed. But the weird thing is, this game, which was scheduled to take place on Sunday in Tennessee, it's been postponed for a day or two.
That's odd.
That's the move the league is making. The reason they're doing it, they want to see if some more players test positive. Now, whether or not they actually play on Monday or Wednesday, as the NFL is saying today, remains to be seen. But the first game.
Sorry for interrupting you,
Chris.
Oh,
you're fine.
You're just following.
I guess I'm debating you now.
Debate footsteps.
I tell you how you settle that problem right there. You just say whoever has most COVID test positive wins.
Or loses.
Just do a punt, pass,
or
kick
loses.
Competition.
Yeah, or
and,
loses.
You know.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what, to me, what strikes me is odd. Now, what the NHL did, the National Hockey League, is they put all the players in two bubbles for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2 months, they were away from their families. They're basically in these hotels. They couldn't go out. They couldn't go out to eat or anything like that. And they played games, so they had zero COVID cases. To me, that is the only way you're going to be able to do that in any other sport. So you might as well have some ground rules. It's whether it's college football or the NFL, you say, listen, you get players who have COVID, they have to sit out for the 2 weeks, and you can't use them. That's just how you're going to do it. Because these players are going to be out and about, and then some of them are going to get it.
Yeah. I'm interested to see whether or not any SEC schools test positive. I bring them up because the Southeastern Conference, as far as football goes, they just began their season over the weekend. And given the way that the 14-day, 10-day thing is going right now, I mean, if some players test positive in the college ranks on, let's say, a Tuesday or Wednesday, that player is not playing in the upcoming game. And maybe not even in the next one, given the protocols that are currently in place.
Right.
Let me ask you this about hockey. Did you see the story a couple of days ago where I believe it was the NHL that said they're not going to do the bubble thing when the
regular season starts.
Kicks off again in just a couple of months?
And you're going to get players getting COVID. In fact, I don't know what, you know, you're going to have states. Florida has opened, according to Governor DeSantis, is going to open up full capacity. So COVID is just going to be a fact here going forward. People are going to get it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else you do. You can't stay shut down forever.
So yeah, the Buccaneers.
You can't if the scientists say you need to, Ed.
That's right. That's what Joe Biden would do.
I would. I would shut down everything if the scientists tell me to, he said, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, Ed. there's another story here. If you're a fan of IKEA and you buy batteries there,
of what? There is a fan coming, of what?
IKEA, the Swedish-based furniture store. They sell a lot of stuff beyond just furniture, but if you happen to frequent IKEA stores and you buy batteries there, there's coming a day when you're not going to be able to buy non-rechargeable alkaline batteries. IKEA has made the announcement they're going to get rid of non-rechargeable batteries by next year.
She wasn't even brought up at the debate last night. That's what I'm talking about.
They should have.
This is what I'm talking about. Chris Wallace's omission of what, what Chris Woodward right there is bringing up is another glaring example.
You know, I taught Bob Woodward everything he knows.
Uncle Bob.
Yeah, Uncle Bob. I have an autographed picture of him signed by Bernstein.
What about Bob?
I'm sorry, fellas. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, IKEA is a quote-unquote progressive, they're very liberal company.
Okay.
They're from Sweden.
Okay.
And they do the furniture, but they have other things. They are not going to sell
non-rechargeable batteries.
I guess because they're going to say the rechargeable batteries are bad for the environment because people just throw them in the garbage and they go in the landfill.
As they say in Massachusetts, bingo.
Yeah,
the reason I bring it up is because generally speaking, in the current business world, when one retailer makes an announcement and goes in a certain direction, others feel like they have to do the same thing. So at some point, don't be shocked if we start seeing other big box stores follow suit. And yes, IKEA's reasoning here is that non-rechargeable batteries are bad for the environment and they're wasteful and stuff like that.
Are they? I don't know.
Well, they do leak. They do leak.
Well, then it would be better not to throw them in the landfill then, wouldn't it? If you can help it, if you can go another direction?
Yeah. I mean, there are advisories on battery packages saying, you know, don't throw this away or whatever, but I'd be shocked if people actually follow those.
I throw them in the garbage. I'm just going to confess it right now, and if I get a visit from the EPA, I'll just deny it. But
I don't know. Okay. So.
There's some sort of battery disposal protocol that you're supposed to do.
And yours is throw it in the garbage.
Mine is throw it in the garbage. if they do leak a little, I mean, the amounts of battery acid are minuscule. And if you kill a few worms, who cares?
Wow. What a callous attitude.
There'll be more.
Toward life on planet Earth you have, Ed. Okay, Chris.
Hey,
surely you got another story.
Well, yeah, pop culture question. Ahead of Trivia Friday, which is popular on this here radio network, what historic television program, and I'll give you a clue, it was animated, debuted on this date 60 years ago?
60 years ago, which is what? What are we talking about, 1960?
Yes, yeah, September 30th, 1960.
What animated?
Okay, all right. I think we just had this. The Jetsons.
No. But that's a good guess. It is in the Hanna-Barbera family.
All right, then it was Flintstones.
Flintstones, yes. Yes, this was actually in USA Today's Things You Need to Know Today, which I found humorous.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things, like the debate and whatever, they made it a point to...
But yet you brought it up.
Well, touche. Yeah, the Flintstones, it premiered September 30th, 1960. 60 years later, primetime
TV's
first animated series.
You know, in the 60s, that was one of the top three things that changed the country.
Yeah.
You had the JFK assassination, you had the man landing on the moon, and then you had the Flintstones.
Yeah, it was a take.
It was prime time.
Honey Movers.
Primetime animated.
Yeah.
Show.
Still running. I mean, it's like it's been on television longer than Gilligan's Island now.
Wilma!
Right.
You're listening to today's issues on AFR. Tim here with Chris and with Ed. Let me get back to the polls for just a minute, fellas.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. As I mentioned here before, I follow the RealClearPolitics.com polls, which they do a good job of putting up, I guess, almost any poll they can find from across the country, presidential poll and others like Senate races and so forth. But they say, the latest poll yesterday from
Quinnipiac.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Quinnipiac. That's I've seen that polling service many times before.
I had that once.
Yeah.
It was brutal. I antibiotics.
Therapeutics.
Before COVID. Before COVID, the Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Yeah, that.
My stomach was upset. It was just terrible.
That was almost brought the country down. I remember that. But anyway, they say Biden up 3 in Georgia. This is what makes me suspicious of some of these polls. You buy that?
No.
Huh? I can, and I'll explain why. Atlanta, there's basically two Georgias. You have Atlanta, and then you have the rest of the state. And somebody very smart with a PhD in something said as much not too long ago, so I'm using that person's quote. There's basically two Georgias. Stacey Abrams, still a huge figure there, still has a lot of supporters from her unsuccessful gubernatorial run against Brian Kemp. So she's part of trying to get the vote out for Biden. So I could buy that.
I guess it's that way in a lot of states, isn't it? You have Minneapolis,
yeah,
St. Paul, and then you have the rest of Minnesota.
Sure. I mean, even in Mississippi, the Delta is blue, and then you have the college towns, Oxford, Starkville, Hattiesburg, that tend to be liberal bastions, and the rest of the state is red with some blue
dots. Just don't believe Georgia's – I don't believe Biden's up 3 points in Georgia. But, you know, you do have a lot of people who moved to Atlanta. Atlanta's an international-type city, so I understand that. But anyway, when I see those kinds of numbers – they got Trump up 4 in Texas. That's according to another poll. They got Wisconsin. You got Biden up 2. See, you got Arizona. You got Biden and Trump tied.
That's interesting.
So now Pennsylvania, they've got ABC. Washington Post has Biden up 9.
Right.
So these polls have been fairly consistent for at least a couple of months, showing that Biden is ahead of the president nationally.
Mm-hmm. He's been ahead since January, before COVID.
Yes, right. Which is why the Democrats circle the wagons around him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he polled as the only one who could beat President Trump on the Democrat side, despite Biden's weaknesses, which we've talked about. So, anyway. He's polling ahead, and if President Trump is able to pull off the victory, you talk about heads exploding in the
yes.
in the polling services,
right?
You know, and no more trust at all for them, hardly, because you know, they're predicting again. When you have these states that are within a margin of error, they're within a margin of error. Margin of error is typically what, 3 percentage points?
I think it's about 3 points.
Yeah, when you're within a margin of error, that it's called a margin of error for a reason.
Right,
it could still go either way.
Now, I am a little suspicious. You mentioned this in the first segment of California, because the polling there shows Biden up by 27. I don't think he's up by any more than 25 or 24.
You would reduce that margin of error.
I'd reduce it. So 27. That's I just never seen a poll.
So how many campaign stops points. Would you advocate the president make in California?
Disneyland. That's about the only thing.
I think they're shutting down because of COVID again.
Yeah, 28,000 layoffs.
Yeah, Disneyland and Disney World. Is that what they're close? Is that the layoffs?
Yeah, 28,000 people. A lot of them park employees and stuff. You know, Disney really lost a lot of money by not having theaters open.
That's true.
And not being able to put a movie in theaters to make, you know, a bazillion dollars off of.
Well, I think Mickey Mouse got laid off.
Yeah, it's the unhappiest place on earth now.
Minnie didn't, because they're woke. Disney's woke. So Minnie still has her job. But Mickey got laid off.
Oh, man.
I saw him in a bread line. And a cheese line.
Government cheese.
I'll be here all week, folks.
You'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you.
Ed.
Yeah.
Thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson, and Abe Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.